and call me tonight. One said,
how the brethren thinking what you preaching? I said, they ain't got no choice.
I got the word.
Hello?
They the ones got the problem. I got the word.
No matter how they take it,
you preach truth.
Amen. I said, they don't say nothing to me. But after I give them about 3.5 hours of solid scripture, they don't know what to say. Just kind of sit there and scratch your head. Kind of look at one another and smile. You don't know what they're thinking. Their mind may be where they can't think no more. But I'm giving them something to think about anyway. Had another one call me. Want some material? He's at the Godhead and write divine word. Said, you got anything else? I said, oh, what a question. Do I have anything else? I explained a little about it. He said, well, I'm independent. I didn't know that. I said, I'm not UPC, but said, I want everything you got. I said, man, send me a tape list and put me on your tape club. Hallelujah. Sounds great to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't know that. I said, I'm not UPC, but said, I want everything you got. I said, man, send me a tape list and put me on your tape club. Hallelujah. Sounds great to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. That'll make you feel better, sister. That tape club's getting big. We're wearing out a tape machine. But the word of the Lord's going to go out from this place. We're going to fulfill prophecy. We're going to be making a lot of tapes. I believe for it so we're going to write a book. Amen. I tell you, I feel I'm not preaching. I feel so much anointing and so much truth in my spirit, I feel almost like Jesus. I feel like preaching with authority. I don't feel like preaching in an argument. I don't feel like arguing with men. I'm going to preach with authority. Amen. If you can't handle the word, get in, get out of the way, or get run over. But the church is going to be built on truth. Amen? It's going to be established on God's word. Hallelujah. Now, I had two messages when I came back to preach to you, and I introduced myself as your pastor. So some of you hadn't seen me in so long. But I'm not leaving until next weekend. So say hello quickly. And then goodbye, because I got a revival in New Orleans. The problem is, I had these revivals before that I had the situation with the death. And the death is what caused me to be gone 2 weeks I had not planned. But I've done got my plane tickets, I had these, but after these, then I'm going to try to be gone only during the week a few days. So I've got men on hold right now that want me to preach revival for them. And I tell them, I just had to put them on hold. I said, I'll call you when I can. I want us to have revival right here. But I'm not worried about all that. I'm worried about one thing. I want to see the face of Jesus. I want to be made like him. I feel like if I'll see him, he'll take care of everything else. If it won't, then this Bible's not true. If this Bible's not true, we need to all go home. But if the word of God's true, I can stand on that word. And he's going to make everything all right. If I keep my integrity during my trial, I'm going to see my dream fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I feel God tonight. Oh, I feel so assured of what I feel in my spirit because it agrees with the word of the Lord. The spirit of the word agrees. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try, Irina took so long, I'm trying to cut this thing down. I have to cut out all the fat, because if I preach what I feel tonight, I could be here a while. I don't get up here and preach because I haven't got nothing to say, but I try to cut down so I don't say more than what you can absorb. But I didn't bring the milk bottle tonight. I fed you milk this morning. Now, if you wasn't here to drink milk, that's your problem. I told one fellow, I said, come back tonight, I'm going to be preaching some deeper things. He said, and that was pretty deep for me right there. But that was milk. That was simply milk this morning. How to study your Bible, how to separate truth and error, milk. But tonight I'm going to try to dig a little deeper. Exodus 33, this is the other message. I preached the other one Wednesday night. If you'll keep integrity, God will bring your vision and your dream to pass. You don't have to do it. If you'll keep your integrity, God will do it. So I don't care what kind of hell you're going through. Hold on to God. Stand on His Word. I don't care how much the devil bombards me. Let me tell you something, friend. I know the spirits of hell have attacked this church, but I have never had revival what the devil didn't attack the church. I'm not a newcomer to this. I've been in this a long time. I got a bald head and I got gray hair and I'm an old warrior. I've seen this before. This is no new thing from hell. But I tell you what, I've overcome him before, and by the help of God, we're going to overcome him again. Yeah, I'm not dead, I'm alive. And God's not dead, He's alive. And the greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. If the devil thinks he's going to run me out of town, he's got another thought coming. Hallelujah. I don't feel like running. I'm too old to run. I'm too tired to run. It's time to stand and fight. And if the God that lives in me can't win the war, I don't need to win it. Hallelujah. I feel so powerful. Woo! Hallelujah. I told you I feel authoritative tonight. I don't understand why I feel this way. But I don't feel like running from nobody. Especially the devil. I told you when you get to Peter like this, you can walk into hell, spit the devil's eye, and walk out, not even get burned. Aren't you afraid of what the devil's going to do? I ain't afraid of what the devil's going to do. I'm only afraid that I'm not going to please God. That's the only fear I've got. I want to walk with him. I want to live him. With him and him, I want to have my being. I want to see him. I want to know him. I'm not afraid of the devil. Because God sets the limits of my trial. And the devil can't do anything God don't allow. And if God allowed it, I need it. God's trying to make a golden vessel out of this old boy. He's going to purify it. It has to be by fire. Oh, I feel the Lord. I wish we could just have church. Some night I'm going to walk in here. I'm going to tell them, take the clock off the wall. Let's have church. My God, let's have church. Woo! Glory to God. See, I don't like God that much. I don't love God that much. And you need to get a new love. You need to get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. You need to get renewed by your spirit in the inner man. You need to get out of the carnal traditions of men and get into the real word and power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's free. I ain't took my text yet. But I feel something in the Holy Ghost. And I got one more message for you tonight. I preached one Wednesday night. I preached one this morning. But I got one for you tonight. Now, I told you this is not going to be milk. Chapter 33, verse 7. As just Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. You know, that's where the Lord was crucified. Boy, there's so much typology in this stuff. You could preach all night from just this one thing. Afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation. Jesus was crucified without the camp, without the city. Well, if you're going to seek the Lord, you're going to have to go to the cross. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. The Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped. Every man in his tent door. Hear this one. I start crying when I read it today. Oh, this is my desire. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now I'm going to show you some prophecy in that scripture. There's two prophecies in that scripture. You remember the words face to face, and you remember the word friend, because I'm going to go to the New Testament and I'm going to show you the prophecy. Now everything we're reading, everything in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of the New. And everything God is telling Moses never was fulfilled under law. It never was fulfilled but not for Israel. But he's actually prophesying to the church. I'm going to show you. And he turned again to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. He said, I know my sheep. I call them by name. I know them, and they know me. And I'm known to them, and they hear my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. He said, you said that, Lord. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. This is what he's saying. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. He said, I never knew you. But he said, if you know him, you'll hear the apostles. Natural, Israel never knew the Lord. But there was a covenant coming. He said, all shall know me. All shall know me. From the least to the greatest. Show me your way, Lord. See, Moses was just like Abraham. He was looking for that spiritual place. That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that a nation is thy people. He said, my presence shall go with thee. I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. And I will give thee rest. I'm going to preach on that rest in a minute. This is all prophecy, my friend. He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Yes, sir, it's a chosen generation, a holy nation. It's going to be a royal priesthood. It's going to be a separated people. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He knew Moses by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses said, I want to see your glory, God. I want to see your glory. You see, there's a plan whereby man is going to see the glory of God. And he said, I will make all thy goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee.
and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Now, that's quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans 9 and 15. And he brings that over into the church and talks about law and grace and talks about how God's turning to the church with his elect. And the reason he's doing it is because he can show mercy on whom he'll show mercy. And he quotes this scripture right here and brings it over to the New Testament for fulfillment. See, the way you tell, study your Bibles, you read the Old Testament, bring it over into the New. Somebody's not following me because you're not into what we're doing. You know what you're going to be? You're going to be outside when we're still being on the inside. But it's all right. I'm going to press on through anyway because God has shown me out of this church there's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a few. There's going to be a few people in this church that God is going to get a hold of their heart and they're going to come to perfection. And he said, thou canst not see my face. For there shall no man see me and live. Now, our desire is to see God face to face. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. That's a prophetic word for Israel. When Israel saw God, Jacob saw God, and had a wrestling match with the Lord, and became a prince with God and man, when he saw God face to face, his name was changed to Israel. And when we have a wrestling match with God and we are changed to become that perfectly circumcised man-child to whom the promise was given in Genesis 17, but it's a circumcision of heart and not a circumcision of flesh. When we begin to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. That's the prophecy. There is a prophecy to a circumcised in heart man-child that's going to see him face to face. But he said, no man can see my face and live. Here's the key. How many of you want to see the face of Jesus? Come on. If you want to see him face to face, well, let me tell you, here's the key right here. You can't see his face and live. If you see his face, you're going to die to do it. You can see the face of Jesus, but it's going to cost you your life. There is no flesh that's going to live and see his glory. There's no flesh going to live and see his face. The only people that's going to see his face is dead people. Dead to the flesh and alive in the spirit. Moses, you want to see my glory? You can't see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place for me. Thou shalt stand up on a rock. I'm glad I know what the rock is. Whew, I can preach on that rock. I preached on it this morning. Hear this prophetic word he's given Moses. There's a place on a rock, Moses. I'm going to show you tonight how the Word is a mirror. It's a reflection of Jesus to a church that's going to see him in his Word face to face and be changed into his image. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. How many of you know anything about a cleft of a rock? And cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Moses wasn't satisfied with this revelation. God showed Moses the hinder parts of God, the revelation of God's past, the revelation of what he was. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible on the revelation of God. He wrote Genesis on the revelation of God's past. He wrote about things that happened before he was even born. He wrote about Adam and he wrote about Eve because God showed him the hinder parts. God showed him the latter revelation of God because he said, Moses, if you see my face, you'll have to die to do it. If you see this modern revelation, if you see the future, if you talk to me face to face, you're going to be dead when you do it. Hallelujah. Because no flesh is going to glory in his presence. Amen. Amen. Moses wasn't happy. And you know what? God gave Moses some of the revelation of the future. Matter of fact, what God's given him right here is prophetic word. Amen. About what he's going to do in his church. I want to preach this subject tonight. Dying to see Jesus face to face. Dying to see Jesus face to face. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the Spirit of the living God. We love you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Help me tonight, Lord, to minister the Word of God. Help me, Jesus, to minister the revelations you poured in my spirit. God, the revelation of the Holy Word of God. Amen. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. Now, we have many prophetic utterances in what I showed you and read to you. And we can go back and talk about how he's going to see God face to face. This was a prophetic utterance from God. But I told you how that Israel, natural Israel, Jacob, was changed when he saw God face to face. And then you go over in the New Testament. All this has to do with the church coming to perfection. Everything you're going to deal with has to do with law and grace, and not being saved under law, but being saved under grace, and God bringing the church to perfection. When you go over here into the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about this as he did these other revelations. I'm going to take you from the old to the new and show you some revelations Paul had. Now, who has truth, as I said this morning? The apostles have the truth, right? All right, and you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you find that, and then again in Genesis chapter 17, the promise of God is given to a circumcised man-child, right? And then we find as we study Deuteronomy chapter 30, when God restores Israel, natural Israel, he's going to circumcise their heart. It's going to be a circumcision of heart. And Paul, quoting the commandment that he said was going to restore Israel in Deuteronomy 30, Paul, reading that in Romans chapter 10, said, that's the word of faith that we preach. Amen. In other words, the apostles' gospel is the commandment that's going to circumcise the heart, that's going to restore natural Israel into its promised land, because the promised land is the Holy Ghost. It's not a physical land. God's kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom that is within you. You must keep this revelation intact. The prophecy is to a circumcised man-child that someday will be born and come to maturity from this seed that God put in the earth. Who was the seed? Jesus Christ was planted in the earth. Paul, having revelation, and we live in a park ministry, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said in verse 8, charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and love, where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. What is he talking about? The gifts of the Spirit. But look what he said. Now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We only get a word of wisdom. We only get a word of knowledge. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Hallelujah. For now we see through a glass darkly. What is that glass? That mirror, that word of God. Matter of fact, if I took you to the Amplified Version, amen, let me see if I can find it right quick. This is a Ford Translation Bible I have here. He's going to look at verse 12. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. That's the Amplified Version. In other words, we're going to look in the Word of God. We're going to see this reflection. I'm going to show you another scripture that proves that out. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly. You remember James said the Word of God is like a mirror. He said, you look in it, you see what you got to do, you see yourself, and you go away, and you do what the book says. Praise the Lord. Honey, I preached this morning. If we don't obey the book, we're not of God. Hallelujah. Because we're His seed.
cannot sin. Hallelujah. Because we're born of God. And we're not going to live in sin. You're not going to live in the things of the world. If you're going to be a perfectly circumcised man child, that means all the flesh has got to be cut out of your life. All the sin has got to be cut out of your mind. Because God wants to live in them. He wants to be our God. He wants us to be His people. He said, for now we see through a glass dark, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. There's coming a time when we're not going to minister anymore in a part ministry. We're going to come to the fullness of God in His body. Hallelujah. We're going to come to perfection, which is 100-fold, which is the fullness of Christ. What is that? That's that man-child, that woman who is the church in Revelation is going to produce. Hallelujah. God is going to bring this seed that He planted to full grow 100-fold. Praise God. It's a prophecy. What's going to happen? We're going to see the glory of the Lord. We're going to be made into His image. Hallelujah. Now, this is a powerful revelation. All right, and he said he talked then about friends. What's he talking about? He said he talked to Moses, what? Face to face. And he said Moses as a friend. How does that tie into the New Testament? My friend, you find in the book of John, when Jesus Christ is talking about how that He's prayed that we not be took out of the world, but we may be one like Him, that He went to make many mansions. And we know that them mansions He went to prepare a way for is us, right? I've done proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt. We are the mansions. We are the Greek word, amen, which is abodes, which means abodes. And that He went to prepare a place for. And He said, my peace I'm going to give unto you. Amen. And perfect love is going to cast out all fear. He's going to give us His peace. Then He went on chapter 15, abide in me. My words abide in you. Ask what you will. If you don't abide in me, you're going to be cast forth. He said, I'm going to give you my joy, that your joy might remain and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. I'm going to come inside you. I'm going to give you my peace. So don't worry. Don't be troubled. I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you my joy, that your joy may be full. I'm not depending on my joy. I'm not depending on earthly circumstances. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Greater love hath no man. He would lay his life down for his friend. Then he goes on to say, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. And all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Moses said, I want to know you, God. He said, I'm going to call you friends. I'm going to put my spirit in you. You're going to be my abode. You're going to be my mansion. I'm going to live in them. I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to be their God. I'm going to reveal everything to them. He said, everything I get from the Father, I'm going to tell it to you. He said, you've not chosen me. He said, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. But these things I command you, that you love one another. He said, the world hates you. He said, don't marvel. He said, it hated me before it hated you. He said, the world persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. He said, my brother, you're not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're not of the world? Praise the Lord. We're not supposed to be of the world. Amen? He said, brother, the Spirit of truth is coming. He's going to lead and guide you into what? All truth. Let me tell you, brother, we don't have all truth yet. We don't have the total restoration yet. But we're going to have it if you hold on to see His face. If you hold on to perfection come. If you hold on to full growth. Amen. If you're willing to die, you can see the face of God. If you're willing to die, you can see Him face to face. He says, I'm going to give you rest. What is the rest? The Holy Ghost rest. Amen. He said, the rock. What is the rock? Jesus Christ and His Word is the rock. What is the cleft of the rock? That place in Christ. Amen. That resting place in Him where the wind can't touch you. The storm can't touch you. Amen. Nothing can get to you in the world. You're resting in His peace. You're resting in His joy. You're resting in His righteousness. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got to have that. All right, now, let me go back into the Old Testament here. Praise God to chapter 33 of Exodus. And let's finish our little revelation here. He goes on to say, and the Lord said unto Moses, how hew thee two stones of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words of the first tables which thou breakest. He said, and be ready in the morning, come up in the morning to Mount Sinai. Amen. And of course, he descended in the cloud and began to talk to Moses. What did he say? Moses, I want you to take two more tablets of stone. What happened to the first two? God gave the covenant of God, amen, the law at Sinai on two tables of stone. Moses break the stones because of the sins of the people, representing the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law come, but we all broke the law. We sin and come short of the glory of God. And the law of that law was never put inside of us. But he said, I'm going to write them again. Not a different law, but the same law. But this time, Moses, take them and put them in the Ark of the Covenant. Because I'm going to put them inside man. I'm going to live in them. I'm going to put my word in them this time. This second covenant, you're not going to break. This second covenant, you put it in the Ark of God. Because this second covenant's going to stay there. It's going to abide there. They're going to abide in me, and I'm going to abide in them. Hallelujah. I'm going to put my words in them. It's the same word, but this one's going to live. It's going to live in the side of them. And of course, that represented Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? His body, his church. Where's he got his word? Where's he got his second covenant? He's got his second covenant in his church. He's got his second covenant in the true Israel. He's got his second covenant in his body. Hallelujah. The seed of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel good anyway. Hallelujah. All this is prophecy, my friend. You just got to understand the book. And the Lord sent in a cloud and stood with them, proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. And look what he said in verse 6, he proclaimed. Does this sound like New Testament to you or old? The Lord thy God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like new covenant to me. It sounds like the promise of something that never was found in the law. It sounds like something that the law never did take care of. Because he went on and said, he said, by no means clear the guilty. Visit iniquity of the father's children upon the children's children and the third and the fourth generation. But that don't have to be anymore. Why? We're not under that covenant now. We're under grace. Hallelujah. See, they never was cleared because the law was given and the sins kept being handed down. But thank God, once I went under the water in the name of Jesus, my sins stopped. That generation stopped. Praise God, my sins aren't visited on my children. They're my children's children. Why? Because it stopped at the blood of Jesus Christ. He said in verse 10, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. He said, I want to know you, God. He said, I'm going to call you friends. I'm going to put my spirit in you. You're going to be my abode. You're going to be my mansion. I'm going to live in them. I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to be their God. I'm going to reveal everything to them. He said, everything I get from the Father, I'm going to tell it to you. Hallelujah. He said, you've not chosen me. He said, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. But these things I command you, that you love one another. He said, the world hates you. He said, don't marvel. He said, it hated me before it hated you. He said, the world persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. He said, my brother, you're not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're not of the world? Praise the Lord. We're not supposed to be of the world. Amen? He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to lead and guide you into what? All truth. Let me tell you, brethren, we don't have all truth yet. We don't have the total restoration yet. But we're going to have it if you hold on to see his face. If you hold on to perfection come. If you hold on to full growth. Amen. If you're willing to die, you can see the face of God. If you're willing to die, you can see him face to face. He says, I'm going to give you rest. What is the rest? The Holy Ghost rest. Amen. He said, the rock. What is the rock? Jesus Christ and his word is the rock. What is the cleft of the rock? That place in Christ. Amen. That resting place in him where the wind can't touch you. The storm can't touch you. Amen. Nothing can get to you in the world. You're resting in his peace. You're resting in his joy. You're resting in his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got to have that. All right. Now, let me go back into the Old Testament here. Praise God to chapter 33 of Exodus. And let's finish our little revelation here. He goes on to say, the Lord said unto Moses, how hew thee two stones of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words of the first tables which thou breakest. He said, and be ready in the morning, come up the morning to Mount Sinai. Amen. And of course, he descended in the cloud and began to talk to Moses. What did he say? Moses, I want you to take two more tablets of stone. What happened to the first two? God gave the covenant of God, amen, the law at Sinai on two tables of stone. the sins of the people, representing the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law come, but we all broke the law. We sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the law of that law was never put inside of us. But he said, I'm going to write them again. Not a different law, but the same law. But this time, Moses, take them and put them in the Ark of the Covenant. Because I'm going to put them inside, man. I'm going to live in them. I'm going to put my word in them this time. This second covenant, you're not going to break. This second covenant, you put it in the Ark of God. Because this second covenant's going to stay there. It's going to abide there. They're going to abide in me, and I'm going to abide in them. Hallelujah. I'm going to put my words in them. Hallelujah. It's the same word, but this one's going to live. It's going to live in the side of them. And of course, that represented Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? His body, his church. Where's he got his word? Where's he got his second covenant? He's got his second covenant in his church. He's got his second covenant in the true Israel. He's got his second covenant in his body. Hallelujah. The seed of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel good anyway. Hallelujah. All this is prophecy, my friend. You just got to understand the book. And the Lord sent a cloud and stood with them, proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. And look what he said in verse 6, he proclaimed. Does this sound like New Testament to you or old? The Lord thy God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like new covenant to me. It sounds like the promise of something that never was found in the law. It sounded like something that the law never did take care of. Because he went on and said, he said, by no means clear the guilty. Visit the iniquity of the father and children upon the children's children and the third and the fourth generation. But that don't have to be anymore. Why? We're not under that covenant now. We're under grace. Hallelujah. See, they never was cleared because the law was given. And the sins kept being handed down. But thank God, once I went under the water, in the name of Jesus, my sins stopped. That generation stopped. Praise God, my sins aren't visited on my children, nor my children's children. Why? Because it stopped at the blood of Jesus Christ. He said in verse 10, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people, I will do marvels, such as not been done in all the earth nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord is a terrible thing that I will do in thee. He said, I'm going to drive out the Amalekites. He said, you need to drive them out. Don't you go in there and make covenant with them. He said, verse 12, take heed unto thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whether thou goest and be for a snare in the midst of thee. And but he said, you shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. He, Moses, when you get in that land, what is the Canaan land? It is the Holy Ghost. What is the Amalekites? It's the sin that's in your heart. What is the Jebusites? It's the carnal things of the flesh. It's hatred, envy, jealousy, strife. It's the works of the flesh that's in us. What are these things of the Spirit? These things that we've got to drive out. We can't compromise sin. We can't have any other gods. He said, I'm the only God. He said, you're going to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. If you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, there's no Jebusite in your heart. If you love the Lord thy God with all your mind, there's no Canaanite in your mind. And the Amalekites that you let live will be the Amalekites that will rise up to destroy you. The very sin that you keep, the very lust, the very ungodly, fleshly desire that you let live in your spirit will be the very sin that destroy you and keep you from seeing the face of God. You'll never see his glory. Because his thing is to a prophesied, circumcised man-child. And then he talks about the feast, the unleavened bread. We know that's Passover. Who was that? Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the seventh day. He's going to work, going to rest. Then he feasts the first fruits. What's that? Pentecost. Then the Feast of Ingathering. You got to keep these three feasts. Every male has got to go up. What is a male? He's a man-child. Every circumcised man-child has got to go up three times a year to worship at Jerusalem. What is all that a type of? It's all a type of God's church and him bringing a church to perfection. We just went through all the feast days except the final one, which is the final Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. Which is the Sabbath month. What is the Sabbath month? When we cease from our labors and do his. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to preach about tonight. If you're ever going to see the face of God, you're going to have to come to the Sabbath month. You're going to have to come to the Feast of Tabernacles. If you're ever going to see God's face, you're going to have to die to your will and take on his. And then he went on. And he picked it up in verse 27. And the Lord said to Moses, Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables and on the words of the covenant the 10 commandments. Came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai that the 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. All right? He didn't know that while he was talking with God, all of a sudden the glory of the Lord got so strong on Moses that the skin in his face began to shine. All right? And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face, amen, shone, they were afraid to come nigh to him. Now, I know this has been preached a certain way, but I'm going to show you the error and the fallacy of that teaching, and I'm going to show you the truth about it tonight. Amen. I know it's what it's always been taught you, but I'm going to reveal the truth of it tonight. He said, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called to them. And Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them. Moses talked with them. How many of you have always heard that when Moses comes down, that he had to put a veil on his face in order to talk with the children of Israel? How many of you always heard it preached like that? That is not true. That is not the way this is. And I'm going to show you the fallacy of that teaching tonight. It does not say he had a veil on his face right then. It says Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh. Not just Aaron, but all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken to him in Mount Sinai. It doesn't say anything about a veil on his face right now. When he's speaking to the children of Israel, there was no veil upon his face. Here's the problem. It's the next scripture. It says, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. All right? It sounds like then he put a veil on his face till he got through speaking, right? But notice the word till. You see anything about that word that looks funny? What's funny about it? It's in italics. Look in the front of your Bible. The word in italics was added by the translators. It was never in the original text. They could have put any other word in that, and they put the wrong word. Because if you put the word till, what Moses said about this passage of Scripture in the New Testament does not fit what's being said. But it should have been when. Now, let me read this same translation in 3 other versions, the Amplified. He said, and when Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. The New American Standard, when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. The New International, when Moses finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. All the other translations say when. Why? They went into the New Testament and knew what Paul said, and they knew it had to be when and not till. Now, here's proof of that in the same scripture. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. How many ever say they saw the face of Moses? Say that. They were seeing the face of Moses while he was speaking with them. He did not put the veil over his face that they couldn't see it shining. It was so bright they couldn't hardly look on it, but they did see it. All right? When he put the veil on his face was after he got through speaking. Now look what he says. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him, until he went in to speak with God. Now here's what happened. When Moses would speak to the people, this was a fading glory. He had been in the presence of God. All right, so he comes out and he speaks to the people because he's coming straight from the presence of God. And he speaks to the people. Then, but this is the Old Testament. See, it's a fading glory. So the glory begins to fade. And he does not want the children of Israel to see the end of God's glory. So before the glory totally fades away, he puts a veil over his face. And they never see him minister without the glory. But then when he goes back into the presence of God, he pulls the veil off. He talks to God face to face. He is renewed with the glory of the Lord. He comes back out. He ministers to the people. But when the glory begins to fade and he's through speaking, he puts the veil back over his face that the people can't see the end of that glory. Because Moses refuses to minister to the people when he's not in the glory of God. Now, I'm going to take the New Testament and prove what I just showing you. Apostle Paul agrees with what I have said.
the Lord. But let me read one more scripture before I do. And that's chapter 35, verse 2, because I'm going to come back and minister on this. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Now, if you do any work on the seventh day, you're going to die. He said, if you kindle a fire, there shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation on the seventh day. Friend, you don't want to kindle the fire. You want God to kindle the fire. You don't want to do the work on the Sabbath. You want God to do the work. Now, I'm just to show you what the true Sabbath is. Isaiah picked it up. I'm going to show you in a moment, but I don't want to go to that right now. I don't want to get too many sticks in the fire at one time. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to use a little bit of order here in this thing. Praise God. Let's go now, before I deal with Sabbath, praise God, we're going to come back and deal with that just in a moment. Let's go first to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to the New Testament. Paul deals with what Moses said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. See, the way you know truth is you read the Old Testament. Then you come over into the New Testament. Remember what I taught you this morning? And you see how the apostles translated what's taught in the Old Testament. If you don't do this, you won't know truth. Who's got truth? The apostles have truth. All right, now if you remember, this is part of what God gave me. And remember when God came on me, when He first came on me in 1990, and He gave me a message called Awesome Entrustment. That's right. Remember that message? Well, the first time God came on for 6 hours, my first visit, 6 hour visitation from God in January 1990, He took me to this text right here, and He showed me all this stuff. I didn't understand the full revelation of it then. Why? It was the beginning of the puzzle. But now God's coming back, and He's putting this puzzle together, honey. And I feel like I don't see it all, but I see enough. I can give most people a run for their money. I'm ready to take on the pre-tribbers. I'm ready to take on the mid-tribbers. I'm ready to take on anybody that says God's going to turn from this church and go back to a natural Jew to do this work. I mean, He'll never do it. I want to prove to you every prophet in this book points to grace. Every prophet in this book points to the spiritual Jew. Every prophet in this book, even what He gave Moses, points to the church. Hallelujah. He said in verse 2 of chapter 3, you're our epistle known, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as you are manifest, declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. This one's not going to be ministered on stone. This one's going to be written in the heart. Why? It's a new covenant, not an old. He said, for such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient to ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of what? Of God. You see, you're going to cease from your work. Your sufficiency is not of yourself. You don't have the ability to kindle a fire. If you did, it'd be wildfire. You remember what happened when those guys offered strange fire? He said, Who also hath made us able ministers of the what? New Testament. Not of the letter, which is the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit give us life. But the manifestation of death, written and engraven in stones. What was it? And I know 90% of the UPC preaches that. But it's not right. Now maybe not 90, but 80 or 90. You know why? We've been sharpening our swords on the Philistine rock. But we need to get in the book and get our own revelation. And they said, how'd the brother take it? I said, the only thing they really got hot about when I said, you know how you get these revelations? I said, I know I've been out there, brother. You got to get off the golf course and get into the Bible. And when I said that, a bunch of them shrunk up. They swiveled up. And they looked like dried up prunes the rest of my message. Hallelujah. And he said, buddy, you touched their gods then. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. But you know, God said, I've called you and ordained you to preach to Israel her transgression and to Jacob her sin. You're not going to get these revelations in the world. You're going to get them face to face with God. You're going to get them inside the inner court. You're not even going to get them in the outer court. You've got to go inside where the glory of the Lord dwells. Hallelujah. You're going to see Him face to face. All right? That's just free. Amen. He said, if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now, let me read that to you in another version here. Let me go over in these other inaugurated with such glory and splendor that the Israelites were not able to look steadfastly at the face of Moses. He just said they looked, they couldn't look steadfastly. It was so bright they couldn't continually just look at it. You ever looked at a reflection of the sun in a mirror? What do? You look, you turn away, don't you? You look and you turn away. You can't look at it all the time, but you catch it. But there's no veil on it while it's speaking. You see what I'm saying? But he's speaking, all right? He said, we're able to look steadily at the face of Moses because of his brilliance, a glory that was to fade and pass away. That glory was to fade and pass away. He said, why? Because that's the Old Testament glory. Here's what it says on the New American Standard. He said, because of the glory of his face, fading as it was. He said, in the Inter-New International, fading though it was. All right, it says fading. It was a fading glory. It was eventually going to pass away. All right, now what's the purpose of all this? Why the veil? All that. All right, this was a fading glory of the Old Testament. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glory? He was saying if those tables of stone could bring a presence of the glory of God, they could bring such glory. But if that glory was going to be done away with, how much more? He said, could the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, which is death, be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. He said, if that was glory, how much more should righteousness exceed that in glory? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excels. In words, let me read that in another version here. He said, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. He said, what that was that Moses had, do you hear what he's saying? What Moses had was nothing in comparison to what we got available to us now. Boy, can you believe that's what this book says? He said, what happened to Moses was nothing besides the glory of what we got available to us. He said, when you compare what happened to Moses to what we got available to us, he said, that was nothing. Because it was a fading glory. My, I tell you what, I can't hardly, I almost want to throw this mic and run. Boy, I tell you what, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, he said, for if that which is done away with glory, much more remains as glory. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great what? Plainness of speech. Hey, he's not preaching as a veil. He's using plainness of speech. Alright? Alright, now look, let's go there. If that which is done away is glory, much more that which remains is glory. Let's read another version. If that which is fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? But here's another one. Let's catch verse 11. That which fades away was glory, much more that which remains is in glory. All right? Hallelujah. Look at that. Here's the Amplified. For if that which was but passing and fading away came with splendor, how much more must that abide in glory and splendor, which remains and is permanent? See, this what we got in Jesus Christ is not a fading glory. It is permanent. And it ain't going to end for 7 years either. It's permanent, baby. It's for the church. All right? Let's go on now. And he said in verse 13, not as Moses, which put, he said, we use plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. He said he put a veil over his face that they couldn't look to the end of that which was abolished. It was before it totally faded, he put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not realize that the law was a fading glory. And to this day, the natural Jew don't believe the law was a fading glory. They still believe the law is where the glory is. And to this day, what's what he said? To this day, when the Old Testament said, he said, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of Old Testament, which veil was done away in Christ. He said, but if you're in Christ, the veil's took away. But if you're not in Christ, there's still a veil on your mind. You believe that the Old Testament law is glorious. And because of that, they never saw the end of that glory. See, Moses put a veil on his face. They never saw the glory fall away. He put a veil over his face before it left. And then when he could come back into God, he'd pull the veil off and get recharged. He'd come out, and when he'd minister in glory. But when he finished speaking, before the glory faded, he put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could never see the end of that glory. And he said, to this day, when the Old Testament law We need to show them the red hot blood of the Messiah that was died for their sin. Hebrews plainly says the ashes of a heifer has been done away. Read it. There's been one sacrifice, once for all, Jesus Christ. When? Once for when? All. Once forever. And he sat down forever on the right hand of God, a place of power and glory. And he had to die before he could be glorified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read that in another verse here, too. Look at 13. He said, nor do we act like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites could not gaze upon the finish of the vanishing splendor which had been upon him. See, he didn't want to see the end of that. He said, and not as Moses, who used to put a veil over his face that the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. All right, you see what it's saying? He said, they don't want to see the end of what's going away. Now, let's go on with here. But even to this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Even today, when it's read, when Moses read, there's still a blindness there. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When you get in Jesus Christ, the blindness will be removed. Because when he died, the veil was rent in twain. What was behind that veil? The glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's available to all. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, get this, we all, with open face, unveiled face, plainness of speech, beholding as in a glass. What is that mirror? Beholding in the Word the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He said, when you look in the book, you're going to see the truth, the glory of the Lord. And you're going to be changed from glory to glory. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, till you come to the full image of Jesus Christ. Let me read you that scripture in the Amplified Version. Listen to what it says. And all of us, as with an unveiled face, because we continue to behold, in parentheses, in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transformed into His very own image, in ever-increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Amplified said we're going to be changed. When we look in the Word, the mirror of the Lord, we're going to be changed from glory to glory. What's happened to the church in El Campo? Hey, we're looking in the book and we're finding there's some more revelation, there's some more growth, there's some more power. We're being shown there's a face-to-face experience. We're going to be changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Until we come into the image of the Son of God. I put the ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints. Till we all come to the fullness, the stature of Christ. Till we can all come to the unity of faith, unto a perfect man, to that mature man. And if he don't do it, his ministry and him have failed. He's surpassed and replaced a lesser, insufficient covenant with another insufficient covenant. And even the blood and spirit of God himself was insufficient to do what God set out to do. I preach as one that got authority. I'm tired of licking up the heels and the dust. I know what I'm preaching. I'm telling you God is able to do what he said he was going to do. I'm telling you God is going to bring a church to perfection. I'm telling you God is able to bring to pass. His blood is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His power is sufficient to do what God said he was going to do in his holy word. And if you and I don't get with it, he'll raise up somebody that will. People don't, but the numbers don't affect me anymore, because I know this thing's going to be few and far between, baby. Out of this congregation, I don't know how many's going to get it. If you're playing around, you'll never see his face, because if you ever see this glory I'm preaching about, you're going to have to die to see it. You can't live
and see what I'm preaching about. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Come out from among them. Be a separate, said the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing.